How many of those shows are so dark and they're unredemptive? I remember one time one of our leaders was excited when Deadpool came out and that they wanted to watch Deadpool. And I had, at that point, I'd not watched Deadpool. I still have not watched Deadpool. But I had read up about Deadpool and just to find out what it was about because I knew different people were asking about it. And in that movie, there was nothing redemptive about it. There was nothing honorable about it. But everything but the character of Deadpool was vile and violent and perverse. And I could not, but I said something to him. I said, how can you watch that as a leader in the Christian community without that negatively affecting you as a person? The last time I knew that, they said that they hadn't watched it. They actually hadn't even checked to see about the movie. And so let's be discerning about what we watch. So the second thing that Paul tells us, the second food group that he gives us, is to think about whatever is noble rather than whatever is vile. Third, think on whatever is right over whatever is wrong. We see this in the phrase, whatever is just. That is, think about whatever is just. Just really means whatever conforms to God's moral will. The news and the media has blurred the line between right and wrong for so long that what used to be wrong is now accepted. But not only accepted, what used to be wrong is now celebrated. And what used to be right is now scorned. Is what you're watching or reading or listening to celebrating what is morally good, what is right, or what is wrong? I'm not saying you and I cannot cut ourselves off from the world, but what we can do is counterbalance all the stuff that we're coming in and be intentional about counterbalancing that, waiting against that stream and the flood of information that comes, input that comes from the media and from the news and every other source that bombards us and is destructive to our thought life and the way we think and how we see the world. So third, think on what is right over what is wrong. And then fourth, Paul tells us to think on whatever is pure over whatever is filth. We see this in the phrase, whatever is pure. When I think of purity, I think of a white wedding dress that is unstained, that is pure. And if you look at the history of why women wear white in the wedding dress, it doesn't necessarily come from anything from that background, but at some point that's what it took on. And it took on what highlights purity and morality and virginity for those women who were getting married because they were pure and they were giving themselves as a pure bride to their husband to be. Our eyes are like a spotlight that shine across the landscape. And it picks up in our sight or in the light, it picks up whatever is good or whatever is holy, whatever is pure and whatever is filth. And we need to turn away from whatever is filthy and highlight and focus on and give our attention to whatever is pure. Now here's the struggle for all of us, is that sometimes we're drawn to what is filth. We're drawn to what is debased. We're drawn to what is corrupt morally. And that just points to the corruptness that's still in our hearts. It points to the filth that is in our hearts. It's like our hearts are like a magnet and we're drawn to that which is not good or that which is filthy. And the only way we're going to change that is by repenting of that and asking Jesus to give us different desires and then begin to give our time and our attention and our thoughts to that which is pure, that which is good, and that which is lovely, these characteristics or these categories that he's been describing, so that our minds and our hearts are shaped and they become more in line to that which is pure, so that we love and desire and we're drawn to that which is pure and we're repelled by that which is filthy. And by thinking and fighting for purity of mind, we begin to change the polarity of our mind so that instead of being drawn to filth, we're drawn to purity. So Paul, and then the other thing I would do is that if, once you repent of it and once you ask Jesus to change your heart, is to ask somebody in your life group or ask somebody in your discipleship group, if you haven't yet, to hold you accountable and to pray with you and pray for you about what you're watching or what you're looking or what you're giving your attention to. And so fourth, Paul says to think on whatever is pure over whatever is filth. Fifth, Paul says, is to think on whatever is beauty over whatever is ugly. And we see this in the phrase that whatever, think on whatever is lovely. Lovely is whatever draws our attention towards love, that makes us more loving, that draws us to be more loving. And so look for and focus on whatever highlights what is beauty or beautiful, whatever is lovely in life, rather than whatever is broken and whatever is ugly. And beauty includes not just what we watch, but beauty includes God's creation. One of the ways in which we can refresh our souls is to get out in God's beautiful creation and enjoy and in wonder and think and reflect on the beauty and the loveliness of creation. Of getting up early enough so that you can sit and you can gaze and just relish in the sunrise as it comes up over the sun. I'm sorry, it comes up over the horizon. Or get up in the middle of the night and watch the northern lights and just sit there and relish in the beauty of the northern lights. God's creation is a wonderful means by which our souls can soak up and be nourished the beauty of God's creation. And then six, he says to think on whatever is praiseworthy over whatever is complaining. We see this in the phrase, whatever is commendable. Commendable is a word that means a good report, and it affirms the good. So you're given a good report about something or about somebody. And so what we listen to or what we watch, is it lifts us up? Is it worthy of being lifted up? Is it worthy of about giving a report to? Or does it lift us up? Karen's brothers and dad had built a glider when they were young, and one time when the family was together, we got the glider out and we went over to the bluffs by the ocean, and we threw it off the bluff, and it's a remote control glider, and so we were gliding this plane over the PCH, the Pacific Coast Highway. And in the backdrop, you had the ocean, and you had the sun. It was a beautiful sunny day, and I was not, but her dad and her brother were flying this glider. This glider was about 2 or 3 feet wingspan, and you could see when the glider caught an updraft of the wind, because all of a sudden it would elevate it and it would rise up. And that last thing is what Paul is talking about is a good report is what lifts us up, what gives us an updraft spiritually and brings us up or points us towards God. So listen to and watch whatever is going to give you that spiritual updraft. And then Paul summarizes the six categories or six food groups by these two words at the end of verse 8. Is anything, think on anything that is excellent or worthy of praise. And then he goes on to say is that this is not just a suggestion. This is something we need to do. It's a command. It is to be practiced or it is to be obeyed. Look at verse 9. What you have learned and received and heard and seen me in me, practice these things. I remember one time when I was doing the series on the churches of Revelation called Seven, and I had somebody come up to me a couple of times during that series and said, "This has been an incredible series. I've learned so much. And it is, I think it's been helpful for our body." And then they said this comment to me, "I hope we go out and practice it." As if they had no intentional desire or no intentional plan to respond to the Lord in what he was saying to those seven churches. And what Paul is saying is that that meditating or thinking or reflecting on truth or all that is good or all that is lovely or all that he has taught them is not just to be thought on, just not just to be reflected on, not just to increase the storehouse of knowledge, but it must translate from our head to our hearts. It must move from just intellectual knowledge. It must not just bring light to our minds, but it must bring heat to our hearts so that we obey what he has told us. So he's challenging us to obey his teaching. That is what we have learned and received from him. And to follow his example. That is what we've heard and what we have seen from him. Making disciples is not just teaching a class. It requires that we band together so that we rub off on one another, that we can model what it means to follow Christ. So where one is strong and others are weak, the weak can learn from those who are strong, who have worked through those struggles and are trusting the Lord in certain areas of their life. And those of us who are weak in certain areas of life can look to those who have worked through and walked with Jesus and learn from them and practice what they've lived. And then he closes with this promise. Practice these things and the peace of God will be with you. Look at verse 9 again. He says, whatever you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. And here's the promise. And the God of peace will be with you. If you remember, Paul concluded verses 4 through 7 with the promise that if we pray about everything, the peace of God will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Now he's concluding verses 8 and 9 with the promise that if we think on these six categories or these six food groups and put them into practice, that is, obey them, the God of peace will be with us. So the promise here is twofold. The peace of God will be in us, and the presence of God will be with us. But the God of peace will be with us. What more could we want or desire in uncertain times than God's peace to be in us and the God of peace to be with us? With all the news we hear and all the doom and gloom, and I'm not saying it's not going to be bad, but what I am saying is that if we will strengthen our mind by consuming these six food groups, all summarizing all that is excellent, all that is praiseworthy, it will be like a fortress around our minds, so that we're not drawn down, so that our minds are not weakened by being bombarded by the news and by the media. So let me encourage you to think on all that is excellent and praiseworthy, and to practice, be intentional, be deliberate, fight to think about what is excellent and praiseworthy. Be aware of what comes in that is discouraging or undermining your spiritual life, and counteract it with what encourages or builds up our spiritual life. Because if you're just getting, if our mind is like a scale, or the spiritual life is like a scale, and you're getting all this information that is weighing down the scale So that there's imbalance, we need to fill our minds with all that is excellent and praiseworthy to balance that scale out. Otherwise, we're not going to thrive. We're not even going to survive spiritually. So think and practice. And then the promise is that the God of peace will be with you. And the God of peace that is with us is the promise of all the covenants, that God's peace and God's power and God's presence will be with us. And that doesn't mean just that we'll have peace, but that means God's favor, God's blessing, God's grace in our lives, by which we can't live spiritually without. And so let me encourage you, in the midst of the uncertainty of our circumstances, in the midst of the uncertainty of the pandemic, with all the mandates now that are even coming out, and the angst that creates, and the frustration, and the uncertainty, and the concerns that that creates, think about what is excellent and praiseworthy. Practice it. Be intentional. Be deliberate. Paul calls the Christian fight, the Christian faith, a fight, because we need to fight for our faith. And if we will think, and if we will practice, and if we'll obey and listen to him, the God of peace will be with us. So let me encourage you now, as we close this portion of our service, to go to Spotify or go to YouTube and engage in worship in song to finish out our service. God bless you. Let me pray for us. Father, I just thank you for this day. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, your goodness. We pray, Lord, that you would encourage us now as we seek to walk out our faith faithfully, following you in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of all the things that are going on and the upheaval in our world today. I thank you, Lord, that you promise to be with us, that that the peace of God will be in us, and the God of peace will be with us. In Jesus' name, amen.